A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The desert and the parched land will exult. The steppe will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. The glory of Lebanon will be given to them, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God, who comes with vindication. With divine recompense, God comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The abode where jackals lurk will be a marsh for the reed and papyrus. A highway will be there, called the Holy Way. No one unclean may pass over it, nor fools go astray on it. No lion will be there, nor beast of prey go up to be met upon it. It is for those with a journey to make, and on it the redeemed will walk. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness, and sorrow and mourning will flee. The word of the Lord. Well, doesn't that passage make a point? The Bible is one of the most beautiful pieces of literature, and it reads like poetry in parts, like today's passage from Isaiah. Lovely images. And the Bible has inspired great art. Think of those phrases. From the New Testament, for example, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or blessed are the poor in spirit. And so this Isaiah passage is another example of vivid images. The desert and the parched land will exult, Isaiah says. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. Isn't that lovely language? When the language is that gorgeous, we can admire it the way we might love a good poem, and we can become observers, a bit distant from its original meaning and intention. But today we aren't mere observers, not only lovers of literature, we're people of faith, and we're listening for a word from God for our lives and our world. Our very complicated, concrete world. As we listen to the lovely words, we get a sense of what the condition of the people were to whom Isaiah was speaking these words. The people who first heard them were not in a good way. Why would Isaiah, speaking for God, have to promise them a joyful song unless they were singing a dirge? Why talk about strengthening hands that are feeble, unless they were feeling weak and not up to the task that lay before them? Why the poetic image of the lame leaping like a stag? Why would that be necessary, unless people were having trouble putting one foot in front of the next? Why promise streams of water in the desert, unless their spirits felt dried up and empty of God? And wouldn't it be a relief to hear about a highway through the hostile desert and wasteland if you were trapped in a place that you couldn't get out of? They, the Israelites, had been taken by the most powerful and terrifying force of the day, the Babylonian army, a power to be reckoned with. They were dragged off to slavery, wrenched from their homes to live in a foreign land as slaves. Their homes destroyed, the cities torn down, and their precious temple dismantled and burned, nothing left. Their past back in Israel was no more. Their present in a strange land was bleak and enslaved. Their future had no promise, more of the same. No human power of theirs could get them out. No help to cross the burning desert back to their homeland. And even if they could get back there, there was no there. It was all gone. Have you ever been there in exile? You don't have to leave home to be in exile, to be in a place where you feel like an outsider or a stranger. A man told me he was trying to live an honest life at work where there was so much cheating going on. He said it feels like an exile. Even in normal daily situations, sometimes we can feel like it's too much to bear. A young mother with two children and a good marriage nevertheless said to me with a sigh, "Being married is the hardest thing I've ever done." A man told me that his niece was about to marry across racial lines and the whole family had turned against her. He said, "I love my niece and I want to support her. And my own family now treats me like an exile, an outsider." Or the middle-aged woman who said 20 years ago she turned away from God. She said, "My mother was a very loving and gentle woman and got cancer and struggled with pain for 2 years and then died. I prayed hard for her," she said, "and felt that God had ignored my prayers. So since God gave up on me, I gave up on God. I walked out. Now," she said, "I've got a long journey back. I hope I have the courage to make the trip. I hope God gives me strength not to give up. I have a lot of ground to make up," she said. Call that a return from exile. And oh yes, doesn't aging feel like an exile? Leaving behind what was easy and familiar, facing what is unknown and a bit scary, and feeling like you have inadequate resources on your own. And we certainly have lots of exiles in our midst in this country, immigrants who are trying to learn another language and who feel hostility towards them, who are trying to adapt to strange customs. No, this Isaiah passage isn't just pretty language to read on a summer afternoon sitting under a tree sipping iced tea by the side of a river. This is direct speech spoken to people in exile back then, and those of us who feel like we're in exile now. There are a lot of good, well-meaning people who try to encourage us when we're going through hard times. They say things like, "Every cloud has a silver lining," or "Things will be okay." But that's not enough. When life takes one of those curves and the world we're accustomed to shifts and becomes foreign to us, when the unexpected breaks in and disrupts our usual life patterns, and nothing feels the same, we need more than cheery words and a pat on the back, as well-meaning as they are. And so that's why God sent Isaiah to those Jews in exile, and why God speaks to us today through this prophet. These words tell us what God is doing for us now. They tell us that God has not left us on our own, but has visited us in any place of exile we might find ourselves. Isaiah was speaking to exiles in a foreign land, promising them that God would lead them out on a desert journey and would not leave them on their own, but would make the journey with them and provide for them, as Isaiah says, "Streams will burst forth in the desert." We Christians know about those streams firsthand, and we remember our baptismal waters, which began a life in us and a promise, not only on our part that we would live a life with God as our center, but also our baptismal waters was God's promise to us that no matter in what exile we might find ourselves, or what distant desert place, God will be there with us, will strengthen us, and lead us out one step at a time.